so excited to be here this evening. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's so good to see us. I mean, those of us, wherever you are, we're so glad you're joining us. We're so glad you're joining Victory Assembly this evening. My name is Nii, and I'll be bringing the Word of God to you this evening for a moment. And this evening, I mean, we'll be looking at the topic this evening of rejection. Rejection this evening. God laid it on my heart. I mean, when I was preparing for this time, I was just wondering, you know, while thinking, what was the best? What can I, you know, speak on? What can I talk about this evening? And God just laid it on my heart for a bit, you know. I mean, it's been a theme recently on my heart, rejection. And rejection is so powerful. I mean, and I believe God will bless us this evening through this word in Jesus' name. Rejection is a powerful thing. It's a very, if we look at the world around us, I mean, if we look at what's happening around us, we look at the cancel culture, we see how people are not given a second chance, we see how relationships, how people can get into relationships, and when they get rejected by one or the other, they either commit suicide or want to take revenge. We've seen rejection. I mean, some of us, you apply for a job somewhere, you get rejected. We've seen how we could desire something or want this or want that, and, you know, I mean, we get no for an answer. So how do we deal with rejection? How do we handle rejection? Rejection is a current theme in our world and continues. Well, whether you faced rejection in times past or not, you one time or the other in your life, you're going to experience a no from someone, a no from something you desire. Sometimes you might even experience a no from God, you know, and sometimes God's no might not mean denial. It might just be a waiting, hallelujah. But I know that at every point in our lives, sometimes, some way, somewhere, sometime, someplace, we've experienced rejection. And sometimes the truth about rejection is that some of us have held back, you know, cowered into a shell, gotten depressed, seek revenge, said the wrong things, become unforgiven because we've not been able to properly deal with the issue of rejection. Hallelujah. So I believe it's something very relevant to us. And just for the few minutes I'll be going through the Word of God, I just want us to open our minds, you know, to God's Word. I want us to open our hearts as God will be speaking to not just me, but to everyone watching, every one of us this evening. And I'm believing God that God will give us a different perspective, will give us strength and power, you know, to become better people in spite of whatever no, whatever rejection, whatever refusal we face in Jesus' name. Rejection itself, I was looking at the Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary. It says the act of refusing to accept or consider something. It says rejection can be the act of refusing to accept somebody for a job or position. How many times have you applied for something, whatever, a job, a visa or something, and you got a rejection, you got a no? Another definition also says the decision not to use, sell, publish something, you know, rejected. How many times did you have something you thought was good enough, of quality, of something wonderful, and it was refused, it was rejected? Another definition is the failure of somebody's body to accept a new organ after a transplant. I'm believing God tonight that that won't be a passion in Jesus' name. The last one says failure to give a person or an animal enough love or care. Failure to give a person or an animal enough love or care. I'll be dwelling on more of the fifth definition, you know, the failure to give a person or an animal enough love or care. It's interesting. While I was preparing for this, I looked over beyond the scriptures because I wanted it to be quite relevant to us. I was looking at current times and the effects of rejection on our bodies, on our psychology. And I looked at, there's this book called Emotional First Aid, Healing Rejection, Guilt, Failure, and Other Everyday, you know, Other Everyday Issues by Guy Winch. And it says a few things that I want us to get. It says, the first thing is that research, I mean, on his research, he found that rejection affects your intelligence, it affects your reason, and more, you know. It says that there was a study carried out, you know, some years back that shows that the same areas of your brain become activated when we experience rejection as when we experience physical pain. So what this is saying is that rejection itself is so powerful and emotional. It's so powerful and emotional feeling, if you want to call it that, that it's equated. I mean, this is based on research. It's equated to feeling a physical pain. So it's like experiencing a physical pain, that the pain of rejection, the pain of no, the pain of refusal can be so strong that it's like physical pain. I mean, we deal with it. Our bodies begin to deal with it like physical pain. It says, and furthermore, in a study testing the hypothesis that rejection mimics physical pain, researchers gave some participants, you know, Tylenol. Tylenol is a kind of Panadol, you know, I mean, a pain reliever, before asking them to recall a painful rejection experience. And it says that the people who received the, pain reliever reported significantly less emotional pain than subjects who took a sugar pill. So the decision not to use, you know, it's telling us now that the people, because, I mean, they conducted an experiment, gave a people and one set of people sugar pills, a placebo, and gave the other one, a pain reliever. And they said that the emotional feeling of rejection was reduced in those that took the pain reliever, above those that didn't. So it tells us that much more, just like the first point, that there's the physical side. I mean, that rejection is so powerful an emotion that it could literally, become pain within our bodies. So much pain that you could literally, you know, have a pain reliever to relieve the pain of it. It also says that we can relieve, you know, and re-experience social pain more vividly than we can physical pain. And that's very true. I mean, if I ask some of you watching me now, if you remember an incident of a physical pain that you've had in times past, I'm nearly sure you might not really remember. But if I ask you about a time in your life that you were rejected about something, you know, you were rejected about something you were passionate about, maybe a guy or a girl rejected you, your hand in marriage or a relationship or a job or whatever it is, or a contract, whatever it is, I know definitely well that you remember vividly, you know, that situation much more vividly than you would sometimes, a lot of the times, remember physical pain. It also says rejection creates surges of anger and aggression. In 2001, the Surgeon General of the U.S. issued a report stating that rejection was a greater risk for adolescent violence than drugs, poverty, or gang membership. Think about that. It says that the rejection creates a surge of anger and aggression that is more of a danger to young people than the impact of drugs, the impact of poverty, or the impact of gang membership. I mean, it tells you how powerful rejection is. I mean, we've read stories about people. I remember some years ago in this country about a lovely, beautiful lady that refused the proposal of a guy that wanted to date her. And the guy just went, you know, came back and poured acid all over her face, you know, because he felt he was rejected. I mean, we've heard of incidences where people were, sacked at work, went home, got a gun, and went back to the workplace to commit murder. So rejection can actually create powerful emotions of anger and aggression. It also says that rejection sends us on a mission to seek and destroy self-esteem. That's one of the things rejection does. I mean, it destroys your self-esteem. You don't feel as capable anymore. You don't feel as good anymore. You don't feel as confident anymore. We often respond to romantic, social rejections by finding fault in ourselves, bemoaning all our inadequacies, kicking ourselves when we were already down, and smacking our self-esteem into a pulp. And is that not true? A lot of the times, imagine you went for an interview and you didn't get the job. You begin to beat yourself. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe it's just me. Rejection is so powerful that it doesn't make you look on the outside. It makes you focus, too much on your inside, and you begin to feel, even if you felt you were capable before then, the fact that you got a no, the fact that you got a rejection begins to make you to cower inside and begin to shrink. And finally, you know, this guy says that rejection also temporarily, listen to this, this is funny, rejection temporarily lowers our IQ. being asked to recall a recent rejection experience and relieve the experience was enough to cause people to score significantly lower on subsequent IQ tests. You can imagine that how powerful rejection is. So it says temporarily. I mean, for some people, it might be a permanent thing if you allow it. But it says temporarily. Rejection is so powerful. The emotions that rejection creates is so powerful enough that it lowers our IQ temporarily. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want us to, the beautiful thing is that God has answers for rejection. And if anyone is facing rejection tonight, I just want us briefly to go into the Word, because Jesus himself at different times in his life faced rejection. And we just want to see how he handled it. And we just want to look at a few instances in the Word and just get the cure, the panacea for rejection. Matthew 13, 53 to 58 says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and this mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Let's also look at Luke 4, 24 to 27. Luke 4, 24, 27 and to 30. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And many lepers went to Israel at the time of Elisha's, you know, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian, and all day in the synagogues. When they heard these things, and all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. Just one more set of scriptures. 1 Samuel 8, 6 and 7. But when they said, give us a king to judge us, their demand was displeasing in the sight of Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For it is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. The final scripture, Psalm 118:22. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. If we look at the few, passages of scriptures that we read, from the first one about Jesus, offense, we'll see a few things coming through now. We'll notice that the first thing there is that rejection does not have to correlate, you know, to your ability or inability. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, where we read earlier, the Bible says Jesus couldn't do many mighty works there because, you know, they had rejected him, you know, because they commonized him, because they felt, oh, we knew you, we know you. Joseph and Mary's son? Don't you have this, that, you, that, this and did that? You know, they commonized him, commonized his gifts, commonized everything he had, commonized what he was bringing to the table. And because of that, they rejected him. So rejection, that's the first thing we need to tell ourselves. Whenever you face rejection, a lot of the times you need to realize that it does not have to correlate with your ability or inability. Even when you're able, you still get rejected in life. Even when we're able, rejection still comes. So never get to a place where you feel that every time you get a no, every time you're refused something that you passionately going after, and every time you refuse something you so desire, never get to a place where you believe it's always because you're unskilled or because you're unable or because you don't have the requisite abilities to do that thing. Because from that scripture, Jesus was able, but he couldn't do much because he was rejected. Hallelujah. Jesus was, the second point was that Jesus was the perfect example of rejection. I mean, he faced rejection from those he loved, his disciples, those he was sent to, and even for a while from God. Hallelujah. He faced rejection from everyone. I mean, sometimes a lot of us have just faced rejection from maybe a workplace, a colleague, a friend, a fiancé, someone you were intending to get married to, you know, a friend or something. But Jesus faced rejection as a whole from everywhere, the people he was sent to, the people who wanted to help, you know. I mean, and this wasn't a case of him trying to get something from them. He was trying to give out something to them, but he was still rejected. Hallelujah. So Jesus is a perfect example and a model for us of how to deal with no, how to deal with refusal, how to deal with rejection. Hallelujah. Because the people he was sent to didn't appreciate him, from the disciples to even those that betrayed him, like Judas, even to Peter denying him three times. Jesus faced rejection at different times, but he handled it. Hallelujah. Another thing we need to realize is that value takes time and can't be seen sometimes soon. You know, I mean, value takes hindsight sometimes. Sometimes the things we've rejected, the people that have rejected you, didn't see what you had. And by hindsight, you know, begin to realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe this, maybe that. Because just like Jesus, they couldn't see at that time that he came to help them. They couldn't see. The people around him didn't see that this was the Messiah. This was the one that came to help us. This was the one we needed. This was our healing. This is our salvation. This is our deliverer. They didn't see that, you know. I mean, so in hindsight, sometimes, I mean, in hindsight, when people refuse us, when people give us a no and reject us, in hindsight, they begin to realize that, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said a no. I shouldn't have chased them away. I shouldn't have refused that. I shouldn't have let it go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejection also has its roots in jealousy. Jealousy precedes rejection. If we look at that story again, you notice they were offended. The Bible says they were offended because they said, oh, you, Jesus, we know you, you know, I mean, you do this, that, you're here, there. I mean, we've seen you here, that, and all that. We know your family. We know your history. We know all that. So, I mean, why are you trying to feel different from us? Why are you trying to feel a little, you know, whatever they felt, Jesus was, you know, offended. The Bible says they were offended, you know, and Jesus couldn't do many works there. So jealousy sometimes precedes rejection. So in our lives, some of the rejections you faced in life, some of the no's, some of the refusals you face, sometimes is because, I mean, people that refused you saw that you were carrying something or you had something they didn't have, and out of jealousy or envy decided to reject what you were bringing to the table. Rejection also would trivialize the best gift in you. I mean, we saw that in the story with all Jesus had. Jesus was God. He brought the anointing, he brought the healing, he brought the power of God. I mean, he was literally God walking on earth. But because of because they couldn't manage the fact that, you know, I mean, he lived a simple and everyday life because he looked common. He didn't, I mean, nothing special about him, you know. They trivialized his gift and rejected, you know, the wonderful things he would have done for them. Hallelujah. Rejection blinds to potential. We saw that in the story as well. And you can't thrive in a place of rejection. You either try to resolve it or go elsewhere. Hallelujah. Even Jesus couldn't do much work, you know, in that city. He had to leave. I mean, but if you, I mean, I can hear somebody saying, but what if I'm in a relationship or in a family situation where I'm facing rejection? Try to resolve it. Try to speak about it. Try to speak up. Try to talk about it. Try to resolve it. But the truth is that as long as you continually face rejection, there's little you can do, you know, about it. Sometimes you just need to get yourself and go your way. You just need to walk away, because the Bible says in that story they were so offended, they were trying to get him, throw him over the hill, but the Bible says in the midst of them he walked away, in the midst of it. So sometimes in the midst of rejection, you just need to walk away from it. When they value your proposition, when they begin to value your gift, they will look for you. But sometimes the wisest thing to do is to just, you know, let it go. Let it go for a while. Hallelujah. And one more thing we need to realize, that self-rejection is more damaging, you know, than the inbound rejection. And what do I mean by that? I mean, if someone rejected you, that's not too bad. It's not even as bad as if you reject yourself or begin to speak down on yourself, begin to speak down on your abilities, begin to speak down on everything God has blessed you with. You need to get to a place where no matter what happens on your outside, you refuse to get it, let it go on the inside. I mean, whatever it is, it's not going to crush my esteem. It's not going to crush the giftings that God has given me. I refuse to let whatever refusal, whatever rejection I get on the outside or wherever, from whoever, discourage me, get me down, get me to begin to doubt myself, get me to begin to fear, I mean, or have a lack of confidence in my abilities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes rejection is actually powerful, because rejection can bring protection. Some of the places you were rejected in could be that God was protecting you from some things. Rejection sometimes brings correction. The only reason you got better, you know, and got that job was because you were rejected in 3-4 places before the place you got a job in. So sometimes rejection brings correction as well. Hallelujah. And sometimes rejection as well can lead to divine direction. If you weren't refused here, you wouldn't have seen that open door. If this door wasn't shut, you wouldn't have seen the bigger door God was opening for you. So sometimes there's a blessing in rejection. There's a blessing in rejection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil wants us to get discouraged. The devil wants us to let it go. The devil wants us to begin to doubt ourselves. The devil wants us to lie down in pain and agony and, you know, just depression. But we refuse it tonight in the name of Jesus. We refuse depression tonight. We refuse to doubt everything that God has given us tonight in the name of Jesus. We speak the word of God. We will rise up. We rise up in the spirit. No matter what we face, no matter what it is, we rise up in the spirit. We take on the promises of God and march forward, because we know God is able to fulfill whatever he said to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what's rejection's cure? The first thing I just want to say is we need to Prayer. I know it's difficult after you've just got to know, after you've done your best, prepared for the best, went in there, put up a good presentation, did whatever you got to do, you know, and got to know. I know how difficult it might be to praise him or to pray. But the first thing you want to do when you face a no, when you face a refusal, when you face rejection, is to get in the place of prayer. Whatever you want to do, whether it's a 5-minute prayer, whether you're kneeling on your knees, whether you're walking and shouting in tongues, whether you're crying and praising him, whatever way you want to do it, the first thing you want to do is to get in the place of communion with God, prayer with God. I love what the psalmist said in the book of Psalm 66, verse 20. He says, "Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." Hallelujah. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Psalm 66, 20. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Hallelujah. So if people reject me, in fact, David said, if my father and mother reject me, that the Lord would hold me up. The Lord will keep me. Hallelujah. Praise be to him who has not rejected my prayer. Was not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. I mean, I could face rejection from wherever, maybe from my boss, from a workplace, from a friend, from a lady, from a guy, from somewhere, from whatever. But I'm so glad to God, because he will not reject my prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The second thing, very powerful, we need to do as well, is we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts as well. The scripture says, Proverbs, we know that scripture very well, Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Guard your heart, guard your heart, guard your heart. You know, in the first part, we talked about how research has equated, you know, emotional, the pain of rejection with physical pain. And it's because it's the power of emotions. It's so heavy sometimes that, you know, I mean, it feels like physical pain. So this scripture is saying, guard your heart above all things, because rejection hits your emotions. So it says, guard your heart, guard your heart. With diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. I love the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. For it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, above everything, whatever you might think of. It says above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So if you don't like the course of your life, you need to guard your heart. You need to check your heart. You need to guard your heart above all, above everything, because it determines the course of your life. So when you face refusal, when we face rejection, when we face a no, God wants us to guard our heart above all else, because it determines the course of our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The third point is the fact that take it easy on yourself. You're becoming. Keep becoming. Keep becoming. Sometimes we'll face rejection because we're not good enough. Sometimes we'll face a no because truly we're not good enough. But don't stop. Don't go just, put yourself in a corner with low self-esteem, talk yourself down and just give up. Keep becoming. Keep becoming. Because you're on a journey. Keep becoming. Keep becoming. You're on a journey. Keep becoming. Keep becoming. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Proverbs 22:9 says, do you see a man skilled in his walk? He will be stationed in the presence of kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Proverbs 22:9. It says, if you continue to polish your skill, continue to improve, continue to work on yourself, it says that you will not stand before obscure men. But, I mean, you will be stationed, not just stand, you will be stationed in the presence of kings. So remember that you're on a journey, you're on a journey, you're on a journey, you're becoming, you're becoming. I love that scripture as well, which says the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Become. So we're on a journey to become. Never stop, never quit. Every day keep learning. Every day keep getting better. Refuse to stay where you are. Hallelujah. Refuse to stay where you are. Hallelujah. The fourth point, sometimes it's not about you. It's not about your looks. It's not about your ability, your skills. Because those who hate me without a cause. Look at what David said in the book of Psalm 69 verse 4. He says, those who hate me without a cause outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are those who will destroy me, my enemies without cause. Though I did not steal, I must repay. Sorry, Psalm 69 verse 4. It says, who hate me without a cause. Many are they who hate me without a cause. So sometimes just getting a no, getting a refusal, getting a rejection has nothing to do with your looks, has nothing to do with your skills, has nothing to do with your abilities. Because like David said in the book of Psalm 69 verse 4, that sometimes you just get hated without a cause. I know that's funny, but sometimes, I mean, if you could ask some of your haters, I mean, if you could get a conversation going with them and ask them why they hate you, it's for no reason. Sometimes there's no reason. They can't give you something concrete. You've not hurt them. You've not offended them. There's nothing exactly you've done to them, you know, to get a no from them or to be offended, for them to be offended in you or to be rejected by you. Sometimes rejection can come without a cause. Without a cause. So we must realize that sometimes, because the devil will want to tell you, oh, maybe you did this, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. But the truth is, sometimes, like Jesus Christ, irrespective of your looks, your skills, your ability, your power, whatever you're bringing to the table, whatever you carry, the anointing, gifts in your life, you can still face rejection, and you face rejection sometimes. That's the truth of life. Number five. Okay. Number five, hallelujah. Rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil. Sometimes, we get too natural. We get too carnal. I don't know if carnal is the word now. But we get to live so casually on the natural plane, like natural men, as if we're not spiritual beings, to realize that sometimes the devil can wind up people, can turn up people, can get people to just refuse and reject us, you know, based on his own agendas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you look at Luke 4:34, you know, the New Living Translation, it says, those demons, when Jesus came to the man, you know, the demoniac, you know, by the lake of Gadarenes, you know, the Bible says, the demon said, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Go away. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Go away. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" So the demons cried out, "Go away." So sometimes the go away you get, the refusal you get, the no's you get, the rejections you get, might be an insurrection or rising from hell. Hallelujah. So sometimes we need to rebuke the devil, rebuke the devil, rebuke him and he will flee. Rebuke the spirit behind the no. Rebuke the demon behind the refusal. Rebuke the spirit behind the rejection. Because to be factual with you and to tell you the truth, the fact that God has given you a promise doesn't mean the devil is not going to attack or want to come on that promise to attack you and take it away from you. Hallelujah. So the fact that God has spoken a word over your life, or the fact that God, you've heard a prophecy over your life, doesn't mean you don't have to do nothing about it. No wonder Paul told Timothy, war with the prophecies that have gone ahead of you. Because every prophecy, every word from God, every promise from God is going to come only through warfare. Hallelujah. It's going to come to pass only through warfare. You would have to fight, you know, contend, declare, stand on the promises to get the promises of God. Hallelujah. So the fact that God has told you yes about this, the fact that you're convinced, the fact that you believe that, you know, God wants me to have this, he wants me to have that, the fact that God has told you yes about this or about that, doesn't mean you're not going to face opposition from the enemy. But the Bible is saying we should rebuke the devil and he will flee. Hallelujah. Just like the demons wanted to tell Jesus, go away, Jesus. Why are you interfering with us? You know, but Jesus stood his ground. We need to stand our ground. We need to rebuke the devil. We need to rebuke sometimes the spirit behind the refusal. We need to rebuke the spirit behind the no. We need to rebuke the spirit behind the rejection. Sometimes, because sometimes the devil will fight. In fact, all the time, not just sometimes, the devil will fight every promise that God has given us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the final thing I wanted to say is sow love, sow acceptance. If you want acceptance, if you want to be accepted by people, if you don't want to face a no, you don't want to face refusal, you don't want to face constant rejection, then you need to begin to sow the opposite. Hallelujah. That's why Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever, you know, he's not talking about just money here, or financial things or material things. He says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever it is you sow, you will reap the same. You will reap the same. Whatsoever you sow, whatever. He says whatever. Whatever is whatsoever you sow. So if you want the opposite of rejection, you want the opposite of no, you want the opposite, you want to be accepted, you know, that you want love, you want affection, then begin to sow it in others as well. Begin to sow what you want to see, you know, in your life. If you want to refuse, you want to get to a place in your life where, you stop getting the no's all the time, the rejections, the refusal. Begin to sow love, begin to sow acceptance in people, begin to accept people, begin to become more accommodating yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because sometimes I've seen a life, sometimes I've had people, you know, just say, oh no, they don't like me. This one don't like me. That one don't like me. That one talks about me. That person this, that one did that, you know. I mean, it's easy as humans to blame people. But I'll tell you, blaming others is not going to solve it. Talking about others is not going to solve it. Crying about what others did to you is not going to solve it. What's going to solve it is to also begin to sow what you want to see in your life. Hallelujah. Begin to sow love. Begin to sow understanding. Begin to sow patience. Begin to sow kindness. Begin to sow acceptance. And you will receive the same. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So before I close tonight, don't forget, we said six things. I mean, to deal with rejection, we talked about prayer. We talked about God in your heart. We talked about you're on a process, so take it easy with yourself. Don't beat yourself too much. We talked about the fact that people can hate you without a cause, so you don't. It doesn't matter what you do, so don't blame it on yourself. Don't think it's your inadequacies or it's the reason why you're getting rejection. Sometimes it happens without a cause. Number five, we talked about you rebuking the devil. And number six, we talked about sowing love, sowing acceptance, because so that you can get the same back to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, I just want us to pray at this time. I want us to pray at this time. I don't know if you've ever faced rejection, or currently you're facing a rejection, one area or the other. It might be a visa. It might be an application. It might be a love relationship. It might be friendship. It might be family. It might be whatever it is. I just want us at this time to just, for the few minutes we just have left, I just want us to pray at this time, to just speak to God, call on Him. I love that Psalm. It says Psalm 66, verse 20. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love. Come on, lift up your voice wherever you're watching me from. Let's lift up our voice for a minute or two and just ask Him, God, turn it around, oh God, turn it around. I just praise your name because you will never reject me, but turn the situation around, turn it around, oh God. You gave me a yes, oh God, let it be, oh God, let it be, oh God. You promised me this, but it's not coming to pass yet. You told me I could have this, but I can't see it yet in my life. God, turn it around, oh God, God, turn it around, do it, oh God. Do what only you can do, oh God. Do it, oh God. Do it, oh God. Turn it around. Turn it around. Come through for me, oh God. Turn it around. You won't reject my prayer, oh God. You won't reject my prayer, oh God. You won't withhold your love from me, oh God. You won't withhold your love from me, oh God. Turn it around, oh God. Turn it around, oh God. The Bible says your promises are yes and amen. Your promises are yes and amen. Everything you've promised me, oh God, I believe you, God. It's a yes, God, in the name of Jesus. It's a yes, God. I rebuke the devil. I rebuke the devil. As many of you, I mean, I don't know if someone that's constantly faced no, 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 no in a particular area of your life, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We speak the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Today, tonight, in the name of Jesus, let it be yes, let it turn around, let it turn around, let it turn around from tonight, in the name of Jesus, let it turn around from tonight, in the name of Jesus, let it change, let it change, let that no become a yes, let that promise of God become a yes, in the name of Jesus, let it turn around, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for speaking to us, oh God. We bless you. We give you the glory and the praise, oh God. As many people, oh God, that have been facing a no, a refusal, or continual, a cycle of continual refusal in one area or the other in their life, oh God, we break it by the power in the name of Jesus. We break it in Jesus' name. We break it in the name of Jesus. Every no's, let them turn yes, oh God, according to your word, according to your promises, oh God. Let your promises come to pass, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let every no become yes. Let the no's become yes, oh God. God, direct us, oh God. You showed us that rejection can actually be protection. God, the areas we've had no's, sometimes, God, if it's not the right way, direct us to the right way, oh God. The areas we've had some no's, oh God, if it's for you to correct us, help us to accept the correction in the name of Jesus. Father God, some areas we've gotten a no, Father God, if it was you divinely protecting us or guiding us, let it be. We accept your guidance in the name of Jesus. But Father, the areas you want us to have it and we're still getting a no, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Let it turn around, God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Let it come to pass in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We bless your name, O God. We give you the glory and the praise, O God. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you for turning things around. For in Jesus' powerful name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.